Delighted to have all of you with us. Michael Regg, I met Wilhelm as we take you to 3 o'clock this afternoon. Got a lot to do. We've got our five-point stance coming up. Wilhelm and I love breaking it down into the five-point, give you five concepts about what's going on around the National Football League, good, bad, and indifferent. All right, a moment ago we heard the bulk of Mike Pettine as he addressed the media today with regard to the Browns getting ready to play the Carolina Panthers. Now, toward the end of the gathering, Mike Pettine was asked if the comments from both former Browns quarterbacks, Bernie Kosar and Tim Couch, had any effect on him as far as the organization's dysfunctional approach in their minds, and how did Pettine view that? Here's Mike Pettine's response.
Yeah, I think that's a little dramatic. I know I talked about this before, when sometimes guys will make comments that are a little bit over the top. I have a lot of respect for Bernie. He was one of my favorite guys growing up. Heck of a quarterback. And he's entitled to his opinion. But being here on the inside of it and seeing what we're building and seeing the interaction we have between Jimmy Haslam and Ray Farmer and Alex Shiner and myself, that the commitment is all there for us to be successful. And the obstacles are being removed for us to be successful. And I'm very encouraged about the future here, very encouraged. And I'd be the last one to tell you that the odds are stacked against us to be successful because of management. That couldn't be further from the truth. But, we're in the society of instant gratification. Everybody wants it to happen now. And as much as we want that to happen, it is a process. And when you build a house, you got to build it from the foundation. You got to build it the right way, make sure it's rock solid. And we're in the middle of that. So I get, people are going to have their opinions and say what they say, but that also, you get a lot more of that happens when you've lost three in a row. I didn't hear a lot of that when we had just gotten our seventh win. So it's we want that stuff to go away. It's still comes back to bottom line business. You got to win games.
All right, that's Mike Pettine. And the last part of that does ring true. There's no question about it. I think we'd all be naive to say that, you didn't hear a lot of that when this was a 7-4 football team before the three losses in a row. The big thing for me, Matt, though, is, and always has been, this is something I felt like this from day one. I'll always feel like this when it comes to the NFL. You look around and you see the winning franchises year after year after year have very, very little turnover or upheaval in their upper level management underneath the owner down through the head coach and then his coaching staff. The only way people leave is when assistant coaches get opportunities to be elevated in the National Football League. Matt, I've felt all along that is has to be an area the Browns get to, and when they do, and hopefully this is the beginning of it, you're going to see better results, as in wins as opposed to losses on the field.
I definitely agree, and I know Riz talked about it briefly on the Really Big Show, but you look at the Maras with the Giants, you look at the Rooneys with the Steelers, Kraft family in New England, just some Bolin in Denver, been in the odor 30-plus years. And also, too, what comes with the time that you hold true and there's not a high level of turnover is you too, as a management and that side of the organization, you develop your identity too. And I think having played in Green Bay, which doesn't necessarily have an owner but are, stockholder owned, Ted Thompson has a definitive plan, and that's building through the draft,
no question,
and adding strategically in free agency. And I think that might be an identity step that we're taking.
Well, and how about, you mentioned Green Bay, and how about the gumption for them to have a first round draft choice quarterback sit for 3 football seasons? Now, again, while they were winning with a veteran on his way out, but they did not pull the trigger at the first sign of a problem.
No, they didn't, Reg. And also, too, is the other thing about, just to stay make reference to Green Bay, and I think it was a statistic on one of their primetime games in the last couple weeks, is they lead the NFL, and I don't want to misquote the percentage, but it's above 50% of their roster started their football career as a Packer.
Oh, yeah. But, Matt, I'm saying it. They don't believe in free agency.
No.
Julius Peppers
signing as a Packer is like an anomaly.
I know. And I say that. Go back and look at it. You're absolutely right. The Pittsburgh Steelers have not been heavy free agency teams. And again, when you're in a position like the Browns are, and quite frankly, I think Ray Farmer did a very, very admirable job this past March in free agency. And what he was – Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner, and I know Ben Tate was a big signing as well, and they decided to cast him adrift. But, it's all about consistency.
It is.
It just has to be about consistency at some point. All right, we want to get you guys and your thoughts on it. As we said, you can tweet at the show, at MattWilhelm57, at Michael Regai, at Nathan Zagura, Browns_daily. You can also, as we mentioned as well, jump on the show with us at 216-578-0850. That's how our man Cleveland, in Cleveland, the big league city, did. What's going on, Cleveland? Happy holidays.
Mr. Reggae, happy holiday to you and to you also, Matt.
Thank you very much. You as well.
I'm going to make my comments brief.
Go right in. Floor is all yours.
I'm calling my shot. I knew from the beginning, before we even took Johnny Manziel, that this was not going to be something that is going to be advantageous for the Browns.
Why, Cleveland? What was it about the selection and his playing style that made you believe that?
First of all, you have to look at what division we play in. We play in the AFC North. So this division, you're going to have a quarterback that is stout, larger in size, like a Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco, those types of quarterbacks. And what we found out in the first week with the eye test of Mr. Manziel playing is that he's not fast enough to separate himself from just even linemen in this league. I do not care what anyone says. You can have all the hope and optimism in the world that you want to have about this player, but he does not have the skill sets to excel in the NFL. And because of that, because he's not able to bounce off tackles, because he's not able to use his skills that he was able to show us in college and have them translate into the NFL, he's not going to improve. I didn't see any flashes in that game. I was looking. The only reason I watched that game after the first quarter was to hope, to pray that I see one tiny flash out of this player that would give me something to go on. He showed me nothing, and he's not going to show anyone in Cleveland anything. And if Cleveland Browns decide next year to take Jameis Winston, I'm off the train, because that's just another representation of not taking a personality-type guy. The Browns should do what Mike Ditka did a few years ago when he traded his entire draft away to get Ricky Williams in there, and we should trade our entire draft away to get Marcus Mariota, because that is a character guy. He's tall, he's strong, he's fast, he can take a hit, and I will give up the entire draft just to get that player. I don't think we have to, but I would give it all up just to get him, because once we do that, we solidify the quarterback position. We no longer are sitting there scratching our head. We got a character guy at the helm, and we can build around that guy, and
okay,
we can actually get somewhere.
I appreciate the thoughts, and again, happy holidays. All right, a lot that Cleveland said there, Matt, and I'll give you. I'm going to, and you know, you and I have had these conversations. I don't ever want to put anything in just one strict mold and not be flexible from that. But
sure.
I will say we all have to have basis for our beliefs. I've seen enough down through the years, and I'll give you another division too, that in the AFC North and I believe the NFC North, my preference would be to have that bigger of stature, stronger arm, pocket passing quarterback. In those two divisions,
I
believe it's borne fruit.
Yeah, I completely agree. And again, now that we have Johnny, I'm fully embracing Johnny and leaving it up to Ray Farmer and Coach Mike Pettine to make the right decisions in their usage of Johnny. At this point, he's a Cleveland Brown, and I don't want to speculate about what we could have, would have, or should have. And I think for me, I was even I'll say through the draft process, I was I was okay with him coming here because of the playmaker that he is, the dynamic athlete that he is, and in hopes of him replicating what he did at A&M, even though we know it's not the same level of play, and doing what he did there in time here in Cleveland as the quarterback. But to add something is the one thing that I was not against, and this is actually for the city of Cleveland and for this organization from a growth standpoint, is that personality being added to this mix. And I think in some cases that personality and the media hoopla that is centered around Johnny Manziel, it can stunt your growth towards being a winning top-level organization or even being competitive each and every Sunday because of everything centered around one guy. And we saw that whether he was on the field or off the field.
That's right.
And I didn't want that for this organization, and I didn't want that for Cleveland, even if he had a huge upside.
Yeah, and well, these are all the things that have to be weighed, and these are all the dynamics that you have to get into. I really don't like it at the end of Cleveland was mentioned about Marcus Mariota, and that's fine. But, you know, again, if you want to, certainly he's had a distinguished career, and I just don't want to start talking draft.
No.
Right now with two football games left and so much yet to be figured out by the Cleveland Browns. I think we all can agree on that. And, yeah, I'm with Mike Pettine 1,000,000% that these two football games are going to have a large, large impact on you. Watch so many individuals that currently are Cleveland Browns, whether they do or they don't, and that's about up to them. What's going on between their ears and in their hearts and how they want to represent themselves when many would say, okay, now that there's virtually nothing to play for. Here's Ellis in Orlando, Florida, as we head down to the Sunshine State and welcome him to Cleveland Browns Daily. Hi, Ellis. How are you?
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. I just got three quick points I wanted to make. First of all, I think we exceeded the expectations going into this year. I mean, if you'd have thought we'd even be competitive, I did. I would not have even thought it. But considering that we were pretty competitive, I'm happy. But I think the one week we were in first place, we drank the Kool-Aid and we lost our minds because we hadn't been there in so long. You forgot that you still have the rest of the season. Now, last week was bad. And it's not the fact that we lost. It's how we lost. We got totally embarrassed. Mm-hmm. We took a beat down. We got disrespected. And let me tell you, if I was a player watching that game, seeing somebody jump into the dog pound, I would have taken a personal foul, slammed that guy on his head, and you would have kicked me out the game. But what it would have said to the rest of the team, that you're not going to punk us like that in our backyard. These last two games, you're right. We can set the tone on how we finish the season, and it's really going to make or break what we go into for next year. You know, listen, man, I'm a diehard fan. I've been doing this for 48 years. I bleed brown and orange, and I'm not going to sit back and let us get disrespected, but at some point we have to change it, and respect is not given. It's earned.
Yeah.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. God bless.
Same to
guys.
You, Ellis, and we appreciate the call, and have fun in warm Orlando, Florida. There again, so back-to-back with those two from Browns Nation, Matt, Cleveland here in the big league city, and Ellis, who's said he's almost 50 years invested in the organization. And again, it yet continues to come back to the same theme. And that theme being, will there be the determinations that are made? Will they provide the consistency and staying stable going forward for this organization? It has so much to do with everything that happens on Sunday afternoon, win or lose.
It definitely does. And I think coming from Coach Pettine, and he said it many times this season, so much so that the locker room now reverberates the same message, is it's a pass-fail league, okay? And I think that you can take what I said earlier in playing like a Brown, and you can go play-by-play if you so choose, but if you look at the body of work of the 45 gentlemen that'll partake in this Sunday's football game and the following, and say, Craig Robertson, play like a Brown, get the check mark. You know,
you want to stop there,
and you want to know, but yeah, this past Sunday, yes, yeah. But I meant into the future in evaluating who plays like a Brown and who doesn't. You'll look at their body of work. They get the check mark or they don't. And those people that don't are in question in the revaluations moving forward.
Way. Yep. It has to be that way, as Matt and I have been trying to emphasize to you. All right. I'll tell you what, we've got 5-point stance coming up where Matt and I take a look. It could be a team, a coach, players, with some of the things that have made great impact on us over this past week of football. A lot of significant things happen around the National Football League. We'll get into some of those. We still have a lot of room for you. It's hashtag Mailbag Wednesday on Twitter. At Matt Wilhelm 57, at Nathan Zagura, at Browns _ Daily, and at Michael Regg. I love to hear from you. A lot of time to do it with. Don't go anywhere. Browns Daily, Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford. Back with you in a moment. As long as I got my suit and tie.